Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 30. We are flying through the book of Genesis. Can't believe we are already in chapter 30 of Genesis, and we'll still have quite a way to go before we finish. But we are looking at the life of Jacob. We looked at the life of two other patriarchs before Jacob, and now as we come to this chapter 30, we see that God continues to sanctify, subdue Jacob, as we started looking at in the last chapter. Once again, I like to remind you, when we were in chapter 27, we saw the scheming of Jacob, how he tricked, deceived his father into giving him blessing. When we came to chapter 28, we saw the salvation of Jacob, where he met God in the barrenness of Luz. And then when we came to chapter 29 last week, we saw the sanctification process of Jacob, how his walk has changed, and how now how he's looking at things. We saw that. And now that process continues here in chapter 30. And again, this is another chapter that may get you to raise your eyebrows. Some certain things we don't understand, but we look in these two chapters, sibling rivalry, two sisters going at each other. Perhaps this was something that was going on all their life, but we just see that intensify here. And that when it will come to the end of the chapter, we'll see that once again, Jacob will be turning home. It's a good portion of scripture. It's a long chapter. Let's look it together. It's a pretty simple chapter. There is nothing in here that you will not understand, or we need to dive deep to understand. But there are a couple of life lessons that we should learn. So Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. It says, "Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.'" So as we've been looking at these two sisters, we know Rachel was beautiful. She was easy on the eyes. Meanwhile, her sister Leah, older sister, was not a very beautiful person. And so first time in Rachel's life, perhaps, she is envious of Leah. Up to now, Rachel pretty much got her way. Up to this point, Leah was the one who was probably envious of Rachel. But now, here in chapter 30, we see that Rachel is envious of her sister. And she's envious because Leah has something that she wants, right? Something that she cannot have. And the jealousy creeps into her heart. And here we can look at when we, in America, we have a saying, right, that the grass always looks greener on the other side. When we try to look at things, what the others have, perhaps it can cause us this envy and jealousy. And I think that's why it tells us in the scripture, be content. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, right, he says, I have learned, and that's something we need to learn. I have learned to be content with what I have. And so here, Rachel is not content. And then you see, she makes a mistake that too often me and you make in our life. When we have a need, when there is some kind of a barrenness in our life, we tend to go to people who we think are going to provide that need. And here, Rachel is going to Jacob, her husband, and says, "Give me children or else I die." It's a, if you have teenagers, you might have experienced this. Every week there is a new crisis. If I don't get this, if I don't watch this TV show, or if I don't get this phone, or whatever the thing it is for that week, oh, I'm going to die. You don't love me. They go on and on. But here, Rachel is lashing out at Jacob and say, "Unless you give me children, I'm going to die." And look at what Jacob says in verse 2. He says, "And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, 'Am I in the place of God? Who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?'" Yes, we see a bit of a, here is a bit of a maturity from Jacob, but we still see how much more growing he needs to do. Because when his father, Isaac, was in the same situation, when he saw, first of all, here, Rachel had to tell Jacob about her barrenness, that he did not notice. That means perhaps he was not as attentive to his wife as he should have been. Because in previously, when we looked at it in chapter 24, Isaac noticed the barrenness of Rebekah, and he prayed to God regarding her barrenness. Here, Rachel had to voice this out. So husbands out there, are you paying attention to your wives? Are you seeing the things that she might be upset about? And if you are not, right? And I certainly am guilty of this. Some of you might be guilty of this as well. Start paying a little bit more attention. Maybe we need to be more like Isaac's than less than Jacob, right? So here, Jacob does not notice her need, but he also understands that he's not the one who's going to provide this for her. He's not going to be able to connive his way or deceive his way into giving her children. He understands that am I in the place of God? So we see that there is some growth, but yet there is much further to go. But before we go on to the verse 3, right? I just want to ask you guys, and I want to just bring this to you, right? Like Rachel, are you barren in some way? Is there barrenness in your life? Is there something that you want so badly, but you are not having? Perhaps it's the same barrenness that Rachel had, that you are, you need a, you know, you want a child and you don't have one. But perhaps there is a financial barrenness. Maybe there is an emotional barrenness. What kind of a barrenness are you dealing with? And when you recognize that you are barren, who are you going to go and meet that need? Are you going to Jacob's in your life, or are you going directly to God? And that's very important in how you are going to deal with the barrenness in your life. You know, each and every one of us, there are things that we struggle with. Each and every one of us, there are things that we know we need to change about our life. But too often, we are too busy blaming the people around us instead of taking ownership of the issues or things that we need to work out in our life. You know, we live in a country where psychology, right, or psychiatrists are very big, right? Oh, every kid is on a couch because of how my parents treated me, or how I didn't have enough stuff. Or we have, you know, the society has made it very easy for us to blame our circumstances for our lacking in our own emotional growth. And if you happen to find yourself in that situation, how are you going to cure your barrenness, right? Whatever, and none of us, right? There is not a single person who's alive on this earth had perfect parents. Nobody had perfect parents. They were all learning on job. So you can continue blaming your parents, or continue blaming your childhood, or whatever. You can continue blaming your husband, or you can continue blaming your wife, or whoever it is, for what is lacking and what is barren in your life. And then you can continue to say, if my wife just did this, this problem would not exist. Only if my father did this, or my child would treat me better, I would not have this issue. We are knocking the wrong door. Go to the God directly, because he is the only one who can take care of your barrenness. As Jacob said, am I in the place of God? There is nobody else in the place of God. Whatever your need is, whatever that you are lacking, there is only one person. And specifically when we talk about the emotional stuff, okay, when we talk about the mind, the things, the bitterness and the jealousy, insecurity, self-esteem, anger. When we talk about these kind of issues, there is only one person who can restore your soul, who can give you rest, and that is Jesus. And so remember that. Learn to go to God. Spend time on your knees, because He's the one who can answer your questions. Moving on, it says, verse 3, so she said, here is my maid Bilhah, go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and He has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. Okay? So here, you know, in these days, what we read here about Bilhah and Zilpah, right? The two maid being given to Jacob. You can look at it in today's term as they were surrogate mothers. In that society, at that time, when you had a servant or you had a slave, if that woman bore a son, they would belong to you. And that's what we see here being played out. We saw this in the case of Sarah, right? When she said to Abraham that bear a son with Hagar. So that is the same thing that is being played out over here. And so we see that Rachel was so desperate that she decided to take care of the problem in her own way, right? We just talked about the barrenness. We just talked about how this barrenness is cured, right? Instead of going to God. Remember Rebecca, how Rebecca dealt with her situation. When she became pregnant, and when she didn't know there were twins in her belly, and she saw the struggle, at that point she didn't go to Isaac, right? She went to God directly. Here, when Rachel went to Jacob and received the answer she did, even then she decided to do something about it herself. So instead of going to God and saying, God, give me a son, all right, or give me a child, she came up with her own solution, much like Sarah. And then we see here, in each answer, each time the son is born or a baby is born, her concentration or her focus is not on the blessing of the son. Let me remind you, in chapter 29, when Leah bore four sons at the end of chapter 29, each time when she named a child, it expressed her desire to be with her husband, okay, or the close relationship with her husband. But here, the account that we just read, Rachel is focused on showing off her sister. It's not about the blessing. It's not about her relationship with Jacob. It's all about, now I'm getting even with Leah, right? It says, look, verse 7, it says, and Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. Right? So this was a competition, right? This is between two sisters. And then when we read the account of Leah, now she seems like she's losing the race. So she decides to, implement the same solution Rachel came up with by giving Jacob Zilpah. You know, I don't know what Jacob is thinking in all of these things, we see that when we try to solve or resolve or get things on our own, then we create a bigger and bigger problem. And so here, now, Jacob has more sons. Verse 14, it says, now Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. And then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. So let me say something about these mandrakes. What are mandrakes? It was a fruit, right? It was in those days, it was called a love apple. And all it was is, it was a superstition, all right? It was a rare thing. It was a precious. When you found a mandrake, it was very precious. It was not readily available. So here Reuben, who was probably at this time 7-8 years of age, finds these mandrakes. And as I said, this was just a superstition. There was nothing to it. There was no quality in that fruit to produce a baby. Much like in today's day and age, right? This is nothing new. You know, we might read this and we might chuckle or smile and like, how stupid, how did they believe this? But even today, you know, there are plenty of superstitions like this that we believe in, right? And there are people who like say, eat certain food if you want to have a baby girl, or eat certain things if you want to have a baby boy, or do this or do that in order to somehow alter what kind of a baby you are going to have or have a baby. This was just a superstition, nothing more than that. And when Reuben found this, Rachel thought, here is a cure to my barrenness. She is still looking to resolve this problem on her own. She is trying to do things somehow, some way. She wants a child of her own. And so she makes the deal with Leah that she does. It's kind of sad to see that at this point, perhaps Jacob is completely neglecting Leah. And thus she had to make the deal that she did, that Rachel was completely in the control of this relationship. And we see what happens, right? But the lesson that I want to focus on is when you try to scheme your way, when you try to do certain, try to achieve things in a certain way, right? Look what the results are. Here, Rachel is the one, right, thinking that if I get the mandrakes, I'm going to have a child. But instead, it is Leah who is having the child, right? So sometimes when you're trying to, when you are trying to do something to someone, perhaps you have an ill feeling toward, they might be blessed. It might backfire on you, okay? So be careful about it. And then you see that Leah, again here, is blessed with a couple of more sons, and as well as a daughter whose name is Dinah. And we are going to learn about her. Very, very sad story in chapter 34. Verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. You see that? You see perhaps finally she got the point. All right, perhaps he understood, because he says that God remembered Rachel, not that God had forgotten, but look at the second thing he says, and God listened to her and opened her womb. Perhaps he had started to pray. Perhaps she had started to search out God in her need, right? And look what he says, and she conceived and bore a son, and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And so many times, we are so much like Rachel, right? When we started out the chapter, Rachel said, give me a son. I am barren, give me a son. And when Jacob could not deliver that, right, she gave her maid to Jacob, right? And she bore a son. Did she stop there? Did she say, okay, this was my desire. I got a son. All right, everything is good. No. She gave the maid again to Jacob to bear another son. But then she still wasn't satisfied, right, until she had her own son. And now that she has her own son, what does she say? So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Okay? Do you see yourself in this? How often we say, you know what? I just want a house. If I have a nice little house that I own, it's good. But as soon as we move into that house, guess what we want? We want a bigger house. As soon as we get into a bigger house, what we want? We want even a bigger house than that, right? Before, we just have a need. Okay, I need a car. Then, once you have a car, oh, I want a brand new car. First, you just want a car that runs, that doesn't gets you from a point A to point B. Then you want a nice car. Then you want a new car. And when you get a new car, then you want a luxury. You want a car with an emblem. You know, you want a Mercedes or you want a BMW. And even when we get that, guess what happens? Now we want another one. Maybe something different like an SUV or a sports car. We are never, ever satisfied with our wants. And that's why I started out by saying is we need to learn to be content. We need to learn to content, because if we don't, our want will never, our heart continues to desire something new, something better, something other than what we have. And so learn to be satisfied with what you have, right? That's why, you know, when you go into the Psalm, I believe Psalm 37, a verse that is so many times misunderstood is about delight in the Lord, right? And he will give you the desires of your heart. And many times that is read as, okay, if I serve the Lord, then I can desire what I ever want and God will give it to me. That's not the point of that verse. The point of that verse is once you delight in the Lord, God will put the desire of what you're going to want. So you might not want the same thing that you wanted when you were not delighting in the God. But let's move on. We have a few minutes and we will see what we can do with this chapter. Verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. So Jacob said to him, you know I have served you, and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it was increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from them all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and this shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them in the hands of his son. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Once again here, we see that Jacob now understands that I have spent enough time out of the promised land. And he says, now I need to do something for myself. And so he asked Laban that it's time for me to leave. Okay. Important lesson that we need to learn over here is that Laban understood that the reason for his blessing was Jacob and Jacob's God. And so often, right? So many people who are around Christians are blessed, and they misunderstand those blessings for them, for themselves as a product of their hard work. Laban here understood that it was Jacob is the reason why he is being blessed and why he has such an increase in the flock. Okay? And there are people in our lives, those of us who are Christian, who are being blessed by being around us. And without going too deep into it, this is the question that I want to ask you, that each and every one of us should answer for yourself. Are you truly blessed, or are you just in the vicinity or in the presence of somebody who is blessed by God? Are you the source of blessing, or are you only enjoying the blessing that is coming through somebody else? And each and every one of us should strive to be a blessing. Each and every one of us should be the one that God is blessing. And then those who are around us, those who are in our circle are being blessed because of us. You know, and wherever we are, you know, wherever we work, wherever we deal with people, their testimony for us should be the one that Laban just gave for Jacob, that I know it is because of you I am blessed. And when I say that, I also want to say this to you. You know, there are a lot of Labans all over the world. They understand the blessing. They understand who God is, who the source is. They enjoy the blessings they have. They want more of those blessings, but they don't want to do anything with the Lord who gives the blessing. They always want to be in the fringe. Don't be a Christian who is on the fringe of the world and God, godliness, right? That you want to enjoy the blessing of the God, but live your life and enjoy what the world has to offer. Right? That is something that we call a carnal Christian. That's something who is a carnal Christian. You want a deep, close relationship with God, a relationship which is based on your obedience to God's word and always growing in faith. And that will become a source of your blessing. So here comes a negotiation. Once again, two con men are negotiating with each other. And when Jacob offers the terms that he offers, Laban jumps at it, because what Jacob is offering is a good deal for Laban. Because even today, definitely at that time, but even today, those lambs and goats who were of a solid color were much more valuable. They were the dominant trait, right? When a lamb or a goat is speckled, right, or spotted, it is kind of considered as a hybrid or a weak animal. And what Jacob says is, I'm going to take whatever from this point on, whatever is weak and spotted, that will be my inheritance. Okay? And as I said, the solid was a dominant. So it was more likely that the new flock that comes in, the other lambs and goats that are going to be born, are more likely to be solid than spotted or speckled. Okay, but Jacob says, okay, this is the deal. This is the deal I'm going to make. And Laban is very happy about it. But then, right, look at Laban. He agrees to the term, but then what does he do? The spotted and the speckles that are already there, he doesn't even want to give those to Jacob. He gives them away to his sons and puts a 3-day distance between them. So Jacob would have even less than Laban thought he would have in the first place. This is the conniving Laban. He knew Jacob was blessed. He still is cheating him, deceiving him. Let's quickly finish this, chapter. Verse 37, he says, "Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban, but he put his own flock by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they bought that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feeble were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks, and female and male servants, and camels and donkeys." So this whole thing, if it confuses you, don't let it confuse you. All this thing about the poplar and putting the sticks and all of those things, there is no scientific reason. There is no way a lamb, if she's being fed in front of that, that suddenly that is going to change the whole genetic makeup of the lamb or a goat, and they're going to turn from solid to spotted or speckled. Okay, there is nothing. We are going to look at this portion of scripture in more detail in next chapter. Okay, we're going to look at it in the next chapter. But what I want to close with is, right, God many times blesses even our stupidity. Okay, God blesses when we do something with the right heart. God blesses us despite our lack of foreknowledge. Okay, and so how do we relate this in today's day and age? You know, so many times when we are in a church, when perhaps you are in an administration, or you have some kind of a work that you are doing for God, and we think that the success is coming because of all the plans and all the things that you are doing, you know, the how you are handling, how you are doing the administration, how you are managing things. That is the reason why the success is coming. Perhaps your church is growing, right? And you are thinking, oh, the members are joining because of, look what we are doing. You know, perhaps you are in raffles, or somehow you are drawing people to your church, and you think that's the reason why people are coming. Okay, perhaps your church is doing well financially, and you think, you know what? Because we are blessed, God is blessing us. Because, and yes, in a way, God is blessing you, but you might say, because of the way we manage, the way we do things, we have added so much into our finances, and we are doing better. Don't be naive. Don't think it has anything to do with you. It is the God who is blessing your effort despite your shortcomings, right? Not in spite of despite your shortcoming, he is blessing your effort. So if you work hard, God will give you a reward, right? And we need to stay true. Here, Jacob is being blessed because his heart is at the right place. Now he has started walking with God. Now he's in this process of being, process of sanctification. And so is he perfect? No, as we saw in verse 2. Right, he didn't understand Rachel's need. He did not pray for Rachel, but he is trying. You know, he is trying to understand God. He's trying to walk with God, and he's trying to walk in faith. And when you do that, God is sure to bless this. God is sure to bless it. And we are going to see that further in detail next time. So as we close this, is there a barrenness in your life? How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to deal with it? Okay. And are you asking for a blessing so you can honor God? Or is it a competition with the Joneses, right? Are you trying to keep up with the Joneses? So if you learn nothing else, please keep this in mind. Only Jesus can cure your barrenness. It's only Jesus who can provide for you the mental stability, right? The joy and the happiness. Only He can do that. And then in whatever you have, learn to be content. Amen? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Help us to learn the lesson from this chapter, Lord. If there is any barrenness in us, Lord, and if we are trying to satisfy that barrenness, Lord, if we are trying to cure that barrenness through our own means, Lord, forgive us, Lord, and Lord, help us to remember, Lord, that you are our provider, Lord. You are the God who gives us all that we need and at the time that we need it, Lord. So in our barrenness, help us to seek you out, Lord. And Lord, if we have a tendency to be jealous or a bitter, perhaps toward our sibling, Lord, perhaps toward our friends or our loved ones, Lord, I pray that you remove that, Lord, that we may just be content, thankful for what you have provided, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you once again, Lord, for providing all our needs, Lord. Every need that we have, Lord, beyond our imagination, you have provided, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you, Lord. Once again, I submit each and every person who's on the line into your hand, Lord. You know, Lord, these people join and they listen faithfully, Lord. And they are not here to listen to me, Lord. They are here to listen from you, Lord. They desire a closer relationship with you, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray that I pray a special blessing on each and everyone who joins so faithfully, Lord. I just thank you and praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your mighty name that we pray. Amen.